Last Sunday, I spoke about Jesus and the lady that had only two coins to place in the treasury, and he was so excited about the fact that she gave all that she had. And those of us who grew up on the King James would have recognized that story if I had said it was the woman with the two mites. And after service, one of our members said that she had a mite, a Roman coin that was made in the first century, and she brought it today, and Claire Johnson has it. Now, it's beautifully encased in gold and with in a necklace, and I'm sure that was not true in Jesus' day, but I have never seen one in personally. I had seen pictures of them, and it is such a small coin, and I'm sure that Claire wouldn't mind you looking at it as long as you give it back to her. But it's an interesting artifact from that day in Jesus' lifetime. I was glad to see some visitors that we have today. Among those is the preacher and his wife from 249 Church in Houston in the Spring area. You may have suspected he was the preacher because he was welcoming everybody to church. He is like I am. He supports himself in a different profession, but he preaches for the 249 Church and has for the last 5 years. That enables that church, though it's not large, to do many good works in evangelism. And you and your wife stand up so that we'll know who we're talking about. This is the preacher. I think as some churches get smaller, we're going to have to depend on people like him and me to provide teaching for the congregations. We're both glad to do that. This morning I want to talk about another story involving Jesus and an individual. It's not an individual as we have in previous lessons in this series, a female, it's rather with a male. And it's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. If you turn to that in your Bibles, Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. I'll give you the context. This is the last week of Jesus' life. He is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will be condemned and crucified. This is an event that occurs on the way to that destiny. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone in to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Probably most of us think of Zacchaeus in terms of Vacation Bible School, when the children all sang about Zacchaeus was a wee little man and he was so short, and that's what we remember about him. But this is a wonderful story. I'm always amazed at who finally is touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes the most surprising individual is the one who is touched the most. I think this is certainly illustrated with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had every circumstance that would keep him away from the Lord. For one thing, he was very wealthy. And we know that wealth is often entangled in our souls and keeps us from being faithful to God. The Apostle Paul warns against that very strongly in his writings, that wealth, the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. And he even mentions that many people who have been disciples of Christ were led astray by wealth that they acquired. So Zacchaeus is a man that is very wealthy, and therefore the least likely person that we would expect would be touched by Jesus. Another reason we would not think that Zacchaeus would be interested in Jesus is because he was looked upon and despised in the community as a great sinner. The profession of a tax collector in that day was considered to be so vile and so unpatriotic that the phrase sinners and tax collectors were used together. In the King James Version, the tax collector is called a publican. A publican was an office that the Romans bestowed upon somebody whose responsibility it was to collect the taxes. They had an interesting system of taxation. Rome would put out for bids certain areas or sections of the countries that they had conquered, and the highest bidder would be awarded that area for collecting taxes. Rome would decide about how much money that area should provide in taxation. And then, if the tax collector collected more than that, he got to keep the difference. And so you can see it would be a position that would be very capable of fraud and abuse. One of the most difficult situations that arose in the church where I first preached in New Mexico was we had a wealthy member who owned a lumber yard, who had also been mayor of the city, and we happened to have a family to move into the church, and he was the tax collector. And he was charged with investigating the other member for tax fraud. And it was just a terrible time, because a person can be halfway generous as a tax investigator, or can be extremely picky on every little thing. And this particular person was disposed to being the most, the pickiest of all. And it created quite a problem in the church itself. And I was caught in the middle, because I knew both men very well and would hear both sides of the story. And I was impressed then that I never wanted to have a tax audit, especially if it was the Church of Christ person doing the tax auditing. So you can see why emotions were very strong against tax collectors, because they could ruin people financially and they could take from them more than they ought to take, and they were almost at liberty to do that without any repercussions. Strangely, one of the apostles was a tax collector. Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, was a tax collector himself before receiving the call to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so we know that not all of them were as the common popular perception was of the tax collector. Some of them would have been honest and God-fearing people. But that was so rare that you would not associate that profession with somebody who was religious. I am surprised at times at who finds Jesus attractive and who changes their lives because of Jesus, because they would be people that we would least suspect would have an interest in the Lord. Zacchaeus represents that type of person. Matthew, when he became a disciple, the Bible says that he left everything and followed him. And early in his following Jesus as a disciple, Matthew had a large group of tax collectors and others attend a banquet in which he introduced them to Jesus. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious people in the community, complained of this party to Jesus' disciples. They said, "Why does your teacher eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus overheard them saying this, and he said to the teachers and to the Pharisees, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In that, Jesus seems to understand and accept that people viewed the tax collectors as sinners, but he said, "That's the very reason why I've come, is to bring the sinners to righteousness." I wonder why Zacchaeus was interested in getting a glimpse of Jesus. It may be that he was a friend of Matthew. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. And Matthew does not include this story in his gospel, although Luke does. Highly likely that the tax collectors all knew each other because they would be isolated socially from other people. Zacchaeus has an interesting name. It means pure or innocent or good. And you can imagine the people's ridicule of a man whose name meant good and pure and innocent, who was also collecting taxes from his own people. We are surprised that Zacchaeus felt this spiritual need of what Jesus was trying to say. He was not accepted by religious people, and yet his heart yearned to find the peace that Jesus seemed to promise. Usually, if a group rejects us, we reject that group. The society as a whole rejected Zacchaeus, and no wonder that he was not only ostracized, but he felt ostracized, and he perhaps was not a very well-met fellow in that community. Nonetheless, there was something in Zacchaeus' life that was missing that he wanted filled. And I think that's true of the human heart. One of the famous church fathers of Christian history, Augustine, said, "Our souls are never at rest until they find rest in God." And many people have felt that, and sometimes those who have felt that have surprised us. But Zacchaeus is a man who needed to find that peace and that rest in God, and he saw that Jesus was the means and the way to do that. Nothing we do in life, no amount of wealth that we accumulate, and no earthly recognition that we receive can satisfy what we feel most deeply within us. Only the Lord can fill that void. I'm not always clear as to why some are on the spiritual quest for an answer to what is within us, while others who have been exposed to spiritual matters all their lives do not feel this need for spiritual satisfaction. My friends who are influenced by John Calvin's theology explained it in terms of predestination and election, that some people are merely predestined to come to God and are elected to be saved, and that explains why that happens. I have often wondered, along with some scientific studies that suggest that there may be a God gene in our makeup, and that this explains the phenomenon why some people are just very religious and some seemingly are untouched by things spiritual. All I know is that sometimes people like Zacchaeus surprise us because they are spiritually seeking and searching for the peace that God can give. The details of the conversation are scant in the gospel. Jesus recognizes Zacchaeus. Likely Matthew had told him about his friend who was also a tax collector in Jericho, and that if he was ever in Jericho, he'd like for him to meet his friend Zacchaeus. The great crowd had welcomed Jesus as he passed through this city on his way to Jerusalem, but Zacchaeus, being short in stature, could not see him, and so he climbs the sycamore tree because he wanted to see what Jesus looked like up close and personal. The story does not tell us how Zacchaeus came to hear about Jesus. Jesus is the man of the hour in Jericho, and so Zacchaeus, out of curiosity, perhaps wanted to see him. When Jesus reaches the place where the tree stood, he stopped and he looked up into the tree. And surprisingly, he says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." I'm sure that this shocked Zacchaeus, but immediately he climbed down and welcomed Jesus into his home. The people who saw this were stunned. The people who saw this did not rejoice that Jesus had chosen to reach out to a sinner, but rather they muttered, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." That was their summary of what was transpiring. We do not have a summary of what Jesus said to Zacchaeus or what Zacchaeus asked and said to Jesus. We have only the response that Zacchaeus gave. The Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. There is a significance in that if you study the Old Testament law regarding compensation for doing wrong to people. Sometimes if you did wrong to people, but it was inadvertent and not your intention, you had to restore twice as much as you took. If you intended to take wrongly something from your neighbor, then you had to restore four times the amount that you took. And so Zacchaeus is willing to say, I'll take the maximum punishment. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said, in response to Zacchaeus' commitment, today has salvation come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's the wonderful theme that we have in Scripture and in many of our songs that we sing, how that Jesus comes to seek and to save those who are lost. When people complained to the disciples, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, Jesus does not become defensive about this charge. Rather, he accepts this as true with a reminder that only those who are sick have a need of a physician. It is a piece of fiction, but I think the point is well taken, and I wanted to share it with you. It is an imagined dialogue between Jesus and Zacchaeus at the close of the day. The dialogue goes something like this. Zacchaeus, said Jesus gently, what did you see that made you desire this peace? And Zacchaeus responds, good master, I saw mirrored in your eyes the face of the Zacchaeus I was meant to be. Isn't that a wonderful thought, that this encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus saw what he could be and what he was meant to be, but he realized he wasn't that person until he came to be a disciple of Jesus. I told you that over the years, one of the biggest surprises to me is who is touched by the gospel and who isn't. Sometimes people come to church and we think they will never be interested. We could never reach them for Christ. And they surprise us by becoming ardent disciples. And other people who are exposed to the gospel all their lives and have had the privilege of being around the church all their lives remain untouched by it. I don't understand that mystery. I don't understand that human behavior. I do know that until one finds peace with God and forgiveness and the peace that comes with forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers, that person can never be truly at peace with himself. Jesus offers us the forgiveness of all of our sins and the grace to manage our day-to-day life. And Jesus offers us the power through that grace to change our lives, as I'm sure that became true in the life of Zacchaeus. May we be blessed by the study of this man who became a disciple. This morning, if anyone is present who would like to confess their faith in Christ to be baptized, or if you would like to have the prayers of those assembled this morning in church, we invite you to come to the front while we stand to sing.
Bring back your broken life, so Lord, my sin, he will bring it anew. faithful again.
Your empty wasted years He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, His presence shall be ours unto the end. Without Him life would be how dark, how but with Him morning breaks and heaven is near.